The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Nazir has been dedicated by our good friend Haimi and Dina Dana. Hashem Yishmirem V'Hayim. V'Hatzlacha for all their children that they should be Mehunach Alpi Toratenu HaKedusha. They should grow up and they should be Zochel Torah U'Mitzvot U'L'Chupa ולמעשים טובים, ובפרט, רפואה שלמה, ומשה בן דינה, אין נא רפנה לו, בתוך שאר חולי עמו ישראל, וגם רפואה שלמה, פנינה, בת אסתר, אין נא רפנה לה, אין נא רפנה לה, אין נא רפנה לה, רפואת הנפש ורפואת הגוף, ורפואתה קרבה לבוא, וכן ירסון, ונאמר אמן, וזכות המסכת נזיר, יגן בעדם, אמן.
דף סמך וב. Today's daf is being studied by Nun Nishmat Morzekeni, Rabbi Yosef Ben Sara, Rabbi Abraham Ben Esther, Ruach Hashem, Tanichem, Began Eden, Amen, Rufuah Shilema, Moshe Ben Dina, Sarah, Muhammad, Batah, Sarah, Bat Rachel, Edna, Refana, Lehem, Rufat Nefesh, Rufat Guf, Ruatam, Kerubad Abo, Vechen Yirasom, and Omar, Amen. We begin today's daf on Daf Samechei Amud Bet, on the bottom line, starting with Onsov Sefeko. Let's just review for a moment what we learned in the previous Mishnah. We were discussing a case of a Zav, that somebody that has an emission that comes out of their body, a discharge that comes out of their body. It's not Shechvat Zera. It's different than Shechvat Zera, but it is an item, a discharge that renders the person Tameh nonetheless. We learned in the Mishnah yesterday a very important Mahlok between Tana Kama and Rabbi El-Azar. The Mahlok was when the Mishnah said that you were able to interrogate the Zav. Which means when the Zav, let's say, sees once, everybody agrees, you get to ask him, what caused it, what brought it on? If he gives you an external reason why the Zavut came on, so then it's ready, not considered a Zav. It's got to come from the Zavut, not from an external reason. Even the second time, also Budkim et the Zav. However, according to Tana Kama, once already he saw the third time, even if it comes Leones, we compare it to a lady. It's like a lady that her Zavut, even Be'onesh, she's considered a Zavat, doesn't matter why it comes. So the third seeing of a man is considered even Be'onesh, and therefore you don't interrogate, and therefore Nafkamina, it's considered a Zavut Le'inyan Korban, which means after he sees three times, he has to not only count seven clean days, but he also has to bring a Korban. However, we saw according to Rabbi El-Azar, he said no, even the third time, you still interrogate. That means even if a person, let's say, saw two Zavuts, and then the man, and then he saw the third time, the deen is, even after the third time, you interrogate him. And if you interrogate him, let's say he says it came me'ones, or it came for whatever reason like that, then it's not considered a zavut to bring a korban. He's still considered a zav, mind you. But that's not really the third one, the inyan korban. But the fourth one, then already it's automatic. So there was a mahlokin if you interrogate the third zav or not, between Tanakama and the Bir Azar. Good, that was the Mishnah yesterday. Now the end of the Mishnah, towards that said, Mishinizkak leziva in bodkin oto. Now, onso v'sefeko v'shechvat zara'o timim. That's just a quote from the Mishnah. Onso, that means if he sees the zavut, you know, be honest, which is external reasons why he saw it. And we said the external reasons, for example, he ate something, or he drank something, or maybe he jumped, or maybe he carried something, or he thought about a woman, or he saw a woman, even though he didn't think about her. In different cases over there, or he got sick, he had a holy. V'sefeko, right? A certain case of sefek, which we'll see what that case is. V'shechvat zar'o, and for that matter, the shechvat zera of a zav, all these items are timi'im. So now, the Gemara begins to explain. Onso v'sefeko. Amar Rava. Rava comes along and says, Lo tema safek haza safek lo haza. Which means, what do you mean the case of safek? Safek zav? How is a safek zav tameh? What is the case of safek zav? Does it mean safek he saw? Maybe he didn't see, which is, he doesn't know if he saw or not. Is that the case of safek that you tell me that still we're going to make the zav a tameh safek haza safek lo haza? He says, no, don't say that. Ela vadai haza. The case is talking about where for sure he saw Zavut. So what's the Safek? Safek Mahmat Shechvat Zera, Safek Mahmat Re'iyah. Yes, the Safek, if it came because of Shechvat Zera, which we'll see what that means, or it came because of the actual seeing.
Kevan she niskak le tum'ah. So the chiddush is, once already he saw twice, niskak le tum'ah, sefeko tameh. He's going to be tameh. That's a good rosh. The top Tosfot actually. Amar Rava lo tema sefek haza, sefek lo haza, ela badai haza. You saw for sure. Safek Mahmad Zera, Safek Mahmad Triya, the Kemah de Niskak le Tumah, since already saw two times before that, Safek Kotre Pirushni Kedami Perekama Pelet, Ziva de Fitcha Beshikhvat Zera. Let's say he has a Zavut, right? A flow of whatever this discharge is, and in the discharge there's also Shikhvat Zera. It's not 100% pure Zavut. Okay, there's Zera in the discharge. Okay? Lo satra ela yom echad, which is normally, let's say, when a person is, let's say, counting his seven clean days. He has a zavut, let's say, he has to count seven clean days. Now let's say he saw his zavut, but in the zavut it was shechvat zera. So that shechvat zera is only going to delay him for one day. He only has to, it's not going to be soter all the 7 days. It delays him for one day because there was shechvat zera over there. And then he just continues counting his 7 days. That's what Masechet Nida says. Now, zivad de lo peticha b'shikvat zera sata sheva. If you have a zivad that doesn't have any shikvat zera in it, so of course that breaks the whole seven. Guy's counting 7 clean days. On day 4, he sees a discharge. All ziva. What's the deen? Go back to zero. If there was zera in the discharge of zavut, one day delay, then he continues. What's the case? Oh, the case of is talking about, we checked his garment, and he saw on the garment a discharge of zavut and a discharge of shikvat zera. And he didn't know that. That's the safek. He saw it on his garment, he doesn't know, did it come separately or did it come together? Now, if it came together, the Zavut and the Shekhvat Zera, so it's only going to delay him one day. But if the Zavut came separately, so then it's going to delay him 7 days. So that's considered Sefeko, which is when a person is in a Sefek, so we say Sefek, he's going to be a Teme'ah. That's what the Mishnah meant of it. That's where the Tosafot is explaining it. Good. Okay. Now, what does it mean in our Mishnah? So the Mefarshim explained our Mishnah like this. But let's say this Safek did not arise until after he saw two times. After he saw two times Zavut, now you have this Safek. Now already you're going to have to treat it as it was a Vadai Zavut. Because it's like Laim Le Davar, that already since you saw twice, that this is the third time. Which is, in a regular case, could be where, let's say, it was the first time or something like that, could be you can go the Kudam. In which case are we going to Chumra over here? He saw twice already. He saw Zavut twice, Vadai Zavut. Right? Now the third time, he has the Sefek of, he doesn't know if it was, mixed with the Zera or not. So you have to say, well, since already he had two real zavuts without any mixture. So if you have to, so the third one also is going to be a pure zavut. Nafkamina. Now he's a zav of three times. If he's a zav of three times, then he only has to wait 7 clean days, but he also has to bring a korban. So it was sefeko tameh. That if the sefek came after two seeings, indeed he's going to have to bring a korban and wait the seven clean days and a korban, like a regular zav that saw for three times. Okay, very good. Comes Gemara and continues. Shikvat zar'ot teme'ah. Now what does this mean? The shikvat zera of a zav is tameh. Right, the guy's a zav. He saw zera came out of him. That shikvat zera is tameh. So the Gemara wants to know what level of tumah. Lemai. Ilema lemaga. Maybe tumat maga. If somebody touches that shikvat zera, so the shikvat zera has the ability to exude tumat maga. Mi garam shikvat zera de tahor. It was the hadush. Why should a zav shikvat zera be any worse than a regular guy who's tahor that saw shikvat zera? The zera itself is tameh maga. Ela zaro shel zav metameh b'masa. Oh, the hadush is that it's metameh even if you didn't touch it. which is even if you just carried it, let's say, without touching it, the hadud normally shekh mazera is only mitame b'masa b'maga, but the tumah shekh mazera avei zav his shekh mazera is going to be mitame even b'masa. So comes the Gemara and says, Man shamat leha de amar shekvat zera shel zav metabim b'masa. Who's that opinion? Do we have a shita like that of Tanaim that say that shekvat zera v'zav is metabim b'masa? Ilima haytana. Maybe it's the following Tana de Tanya. Rabbi Eliezer Omer shekvat zaro shel zav eno metame b'masa. Okay, well that's not that opinion. Rabbi Yeshua Omer metame b'masa. Oh, so we have an opinion. Rabbi Yeshua. That says what? The shekvat zera of a zav is metame even b'masa lefi sheyefshar la belo sihsuhe ziva. He explains why. He says the reason why it's metame is because it's impossible that it's not going to have traces of ziva in it. And zavut is metame b'masa. So therefore it's not Rabbi Yeshua, because our Mishnah was mashma shekvat zara, even if it's pure shekvat zera of the zav. Rabbi Yeshua said the only reason why it's metameh b'masa is because it might have some trace of zavut in it. So that's not the same opinion. Yeah. So where's the opinion that says that the, you know, pure shekvat zera of a zav is going to be metameh b'masa? So comes again what it says, Afilu Rabbi Yeshua lo amar ela mishum sechsuhay zivat. Again, it's finishing its point. Even Rabbi Yeshua, he only said it's metameh b'masa because of the what? The sechsuhe ziva, aval be'enela. But if it's live, meaning if it's without any mixture, it's not going to be mitameh b'masa. That's the question. Let's look at the Tosfot. Just to read the Tosfot inside. Second Tosfot. V'shekvat zaro. V'shekvat zaro lemay. Ili ma lemaga. The mission is kach letumah yitma l'shekvat zaro lemaga. Pshita mi gara v'shekvat zaro de tahor be'alma. V'afil lo nizkak na me'ela lemasa. Which means it shouldn't be any different than a regular case of a person that saw Shekvat Zera. The regular guy Shekvat Zera, he was Tahor, is Metameh B'Maga. So what's the, tell me, in the Zav, Zav is Metameh B'Maga? Of course, Pshita. So Gemara says, comes the Gemara and says, Amar Avada Barahaba. So you know, it comes to teach me. Lomar she'en tolin ba. The hadush is en tolin ba. What does the words en tolin ba literally mean? En tolin ba means you do not attribute the diziva to this. Which means we're talking about a case like this. Interesting case. Let's say a person he has two discharges. Okay, he has a shekhvat zera discharge. And then following the shekvat zera discharge, he has a zavut discharge. So the question is, when the zavut comes after the shekvat zera, it seems like the Gemara is going to tell you, after it's discharged from the person, it weakens the person. And therefore it could be, now the zavut that he saw afterwards is not going to be considered a real zavut. Because it's coming from weakness. It's coming from after he was already halash. Look at Tosafot. Tosafot says, "Ela amar av adab barahava, nomas she'en tolin ba, demaseket zavin tenana ro'e keri, eno metame beziva kol me'et le'et." Look at that. 24 hours after the shekvat zera, we disregard his zavut. Why? She'keri poter ziva ba'a le'acharia kol me'et le'et. Good. Aval, mishenizkak letum'ah. Oh, but the point of the Mishnah is, once already he saw Zavut twice, as lo tiftor ha-shekvat zera ataziba haba achareha, which means, if let's say, I guess he saw shekvat zera, okay, so we said, whatever comes afterwards is, but already if he saw two times, zavut, okay, now he saw a shekvat zera, that shekvat zera is not going to poter the zavut that comes afterwards. Why? Because already he established himself. Already he saw Zavu twice. So that's the point of the Mishnah. That Shekhvat Zara'o Mitameh. Which is meaning not itself. I don't have to tell you Shekhvat Zara Mitameh. Meaning his Shekhvat Zera is not going to release the Zavut that comes after it. Normally, the zavut that comes after a shekhvat zera, we say, it's a sickness, he was weak. My shekhvat over here, where he saw twice, so he had a shekhvat zera. Now he saw zavut twice, he saw zavut twice, now he saw shekhvat zera, followed by a zavut, we say he's a zav. We're not going to say that third zavut is nothing. Why? Because since he established himself twice, that's what the Mishnah meant when it says, shekhvat zara'o metameh, mean that you're not toleh. Okay? Tanat the Gemara says, Sabara papa kabed rava lememar. Now what's the logic why in a normal case where he didn't establish himself, why does Zavut after Shekhvat Zera, why is it not considered a Zavut? So the Gemara says, Aidi Hulshahu dehazeh. Because we say it came from weakness. It seems when the Zera is emitted from the body, so it causes the body a tremendous amount of halishut, so therefore it's like sickness. So then we say in the Mishnah, that's one of the ways that your bodek azav is be'oli. So therefore, whatever follows the shekhvat zera, we don't consider anything. So give us amale rabba, give us, what are you talking about? How can that be? If that cannot be the reason, why? Ve'atinan, we learned in the Mishnah, ger shenit gayir, mitame miyad beziva. You have a ger, a convert, right after his conversion, immediately after the conversion, he's already subject to Zavut. Even though he might have seen Shekhvat Zera right before his conversion. So we see what? And the Gemara says, Amale en necha holi gadol mizeh. And there's no holi that's greater than that, which means two things here. Number one, the guy saw the goy. He saw Zera first. Okay? And still, what do you say? Immediately after his conversion, his zavut is a zavut. Hey, I thought you told me about weakness. If you're going with the weakness sevara, so what's the difference? The chavara, goy, not goy. Bottom line, it was a zera that preceded it. The chavara, the zavut should be nothing. And in this case, over kol sheken, because the conversion also brings a weakness upon the person. Why? Because he accepted upon himself now all mitzvot. Now already he has a yoke. So kol sheken, it should weaken him. So therefore, that's not the sevara. Because if you're telling me the sevara is weakness, why then by the goy, when he converts, his zavut is zavut immediately? It shouldn't be. So that whole line of reasoning is knocked out. Look at the Tosafot. Amar le Rava ve'atenan ger shenit gayer mitameh b'ziva miyad. Right? I can say ve'amai ha'en lecha choli gadol mizeh. Pirusha she ger shira'a keri kodem shenit gayir. Good? Venit gayir vira'a ziva. Metameh biza velo teftor keri ita ziva. Ve'im kedevre rav ada vira papa de tama de keri pote biza ba'ara mishum ol shah. Gabe ger nameh. Nema chi de'en naka holi gadol mize. Dechi eki de batkin noto leftor bekeri de mali keri shira kishu oved kuchavim. Mali shira kishu Yisrael. What's the difference? If it's a mitziut that the shekhvat zera weakens the guy, what do I care if it's Yisrael or it's a goy? Right, so that's the Gemara's the question. Right? Good. So it must be a different logic. So we have to go back. So therefore you can explain our Mishnah like that. You thought to explain that the pshat on the Mishnah was what? That normally speaking, a zavut that's followed by a shekhvat zera is nothing, right? And the hadush of the Mishnah was, but after two zavuts, so then already you're established that a shekhvat zera is not going to happen. And would you want to explain the logic of that? The logic you wanted to explain was what? Because of halishut, because it's coming from halishut. But you see that reason does not hold because of, you see, the inyan of the goy, of the ger. Now, ela must be what? Must be what? That inyan that we say that a shekhvat zera that's followed by a ziva that's followed, that comes after a shekhvat zera, a ziva that comes after a shekhvat zera, must be this special gezerat ketuvah of some sort that tells me it's not metameh. And by a goy, we have a special deen, which means obviously it's not a sivara. Because if it was of a sivara, you cannot mehalek between goy and Jew. From the fact that we are making a hiluk between a goy and a Jew, must be it's not working with the sivara of hulsha. Because there's weakness. What do I care if it's a goy got weak by the Shekhmat Zera or a Jew got weak by the Shekhmat Zera? Mali goy, mali Yehudi. Ela must be, if it's the is a chiluk of some sort, because the Gemara does say that the goy that converts, his zivut is zivut miyad. Ela, you have to say that, well, it's something special of a goy, his Shekhmat Zera is not mitameh, whatever it is, however you want to learn it. And therefore, his zivut will be miyad, Masha'ikin, the Jews, is not going to be. Now wait. Once you're telling me the Jews is not going to be, it's got nothing to do with weakness, so therefore there's no sevara to make a chiluk between whether the Shekhmat Zera came after one, if there was one zavut that followed, or if it was two zavut, which means I cannot learn the Mishnah like you wanted to learn it, which means you want to learn the Mishnah that what? That if he saw Shekhmat Zera, right? Then one zavut, that's nothing. Masha'enke, we wanted to say now, if he saw, let's say, twice, and then he saw Shekhmat Zera, then he saw again, oh, that's already established. Once you tell me it's not working with Sevara, so the Chavra, there's no room to be Mehalek at all, which means no matter when the Zavut, so long as the Zavut followed Shekhmat Zera, we're going to say it's nothing. So therefore, that cannot be the Pshat in our Mishnah. So we have to go back to the Mishnah and relearn it. What does it mean in the Mishnah when it says Shekhmat Zera? Mitameh. I review. There were two ways to learn Shekhmat Zera Mitameh. One way was to be Mitameh b'maga or Mitameh b'masa. Hadush. Maga, you don't have to tell me. Every Shekhmat Zera is Mitameh b'maga. Oh, Azav's Shekhmat Zera is Mitameh b'masa. Who holds like that? We saw, she taught, they wanted to say the only reason why Shekhmat Zera of Azav is Mitameh b'masa is because it has Sahsuhay Ziva in it. Mashma that alone, it's not mitameh masa, so we rejected that logic. Oh, so you know what shekhmat zara mitameh means? I'll tell you what shekhmat zara mitameh means. It means that since he saw twice zavut, the shekhmat zara that follows it is not going to negate the zavut that comes after that. So the Gemara rejects that also, because it's not working with sevarot over here. It's not the pshat that shekhmat zara weakens the guy, because by a goy it doesn't apply like that. And the pshat must be, there's a special gezeret katuv somewhere, wherever it is, the Gemara doesn't tell us, that says any zavut that comes after a shekhmat zera is nothing. I don't care if it's one time, I don't care if it was two times, it's established. Oh, so I go back to our Mishnah then. So what did the Mishnah mean, shekhmat zera or metameh? Oh, it must have been, back to the original premise, b'masa. Oh, b'masa, but we didn't find the Tana that subscribes to that. So the Gemara says, we found it. Where did we find it? So the Gemara says, so it's all unspoken. Ela, you see what the Ela, all in that one word, Ela. Ela rejects this last premise of Shekhmat Zera, and then a Zavut. And Ela means we're going back to the original answer, that when it says Shekhmat Zera Metameh, it means Metameh B'masa. Who's the author? Because we don't have an author. So I'll tell you, Tanaim. I found it. It's about, look at Tanaim. What does it say? Tanya, Shekhmat Zera Shil Zav, Metameh B'masa, Kol Me'et Le'et. Okay. 24 hours. 24-hour rule. Which means, any Shekhmat Zera that was emitted from the Zav within 24 hours of his Zavut, has a din of what? Tum'at Masa. V'Rabbi Yosemir Yomo. Rabbi Yosef comes along and says, no, not the 24 hours. Yomo, on the same day. He saw on Sunday morning, Zavut. Sunday afternoon he saw Shekhmat Zera. That Shekhmat Zera is going to be Metameh B'Masa. So he limits it, but both opinions hold that the Shekhmat Zera alone of a Zav, whether it's within 24 hours of the seeing, or whether it's within the same day, is Metameh B'Masa. Now, what's the source of this Mahlokah? Where did they get this Mahlokah from? B'Dishmuel. The Mahlokah is in Shmuel's logic. The Shmuel Rameh Ketiv. Shmuel brought a Mahlokah, or a Stira Rameh. Get the technique. Rameh Ketiv. He brought a contradiction in Pesukim. Rameh Ketiv. Ki yiye becha ish. Asher lo yehiye tahor mekere laila. You'll have a fellow that's not going to be tahor mekere laila from a kere laila is another way of saying tumat keri. Now, seemingly this pasuk is saying two things here. He's not going to be tahor. Sounds like from something else. Ish ki lo yehiye tahor, meaning he saw zavut, and then the pasuk says mekere laila. Sounds like, and he also subsequently saw Tumat Keri. And this is how he's learning the pasuk Shemuel. Stop. Lo yeh tor from what? I'll tell you from Zavut. The guy became a Zav. And then what? Mekere Laila. And then also we saw Tum'at Keri. And what are you telling me? From the fact that you're saying Mekere Laila, it sounds like that the Tum'at Keri and the Zavut have the same deen, meaning it's going to be Metameh Bimasa. And for the fact that it's Mekere Laila, is Mashma until the next night, which means you have a 24-hour period. That's what this pasuk is mashma, that the keri is like zavut. Okay, we're reading into this, obviously, but that's what the mefarshim are explaining it. That the keri has a din of zav the whole laila, which means even though he saw, let's say, 2 o'clock on Sunday, you have 24 hours, which means you have the whole night till the next day. Uchtiv. But we have another pasuk that says what? Lifnot arev yirhats b'mayim. I stand corrected. Lifnot arev. I explained to you outside, then I'll read it inside. But I stand corrected. When it says mekere laila, it means until the night. Lifnot arev means to the evening and past the evening, because it's a double language. Lifnot Arev. Lifnot means when the day passes. Arev means the night. From the double language of not Arev, it means not only to the night, but even beyond. Okay? So Mekere Laila takes you to the night. That would be the opinion that says Otoyom. Yeah? And Lifnot Arev would be the Shita that says Me'et Le'et. That clear? Let's read it inside now. Man de'amar Me'et Le'et. The opinion that says that these Shekhavat Zera is mitameh b'masa for 24 hours from the emission of the zavut. Dayik milifnot arif. He's midayik from the pasuk milifnot arif. V'idach dayik mekere laila. The other shita is midayik mekere, which is mashma what? Mekere, till the night. Once the night comes, that's it. The shekhvat zed does not have a din of masa. Good? Uman da amar milifnot arev haketiv mekere laila. Oh, what did you do with the mekere laila pasuk? Amar de urhad de kere lematya ben Eliyah. The Torah is just speaking in the normal scenario. When does a person normally see tumat keri? At night. So therefore, that's just a normal way of talking. Mekere laila. Don't midayek te mekere laila means davka until the night. That's the way you call keri. Which means, if that's the normal way of talking, you can't be Doresha Pasuk. Mekere Laila, just saying, the normal way of seeing Keri is at night, when a person lies down, or whatever it may be. So therefore, don't midayek that point. But what did you see from this bright over here? You have two Tanaim that both agree, Shechvat Zaro Shel Zav Metameh B'masa. What time frame? That's already a machloket. Oh, me'et le'et, oh, only on the same day. And where are they learning it from? Either from the pesukim of Lifnot Arev or the pesukim of Mekere Laila. Good? Okay. Good, and that's the case of our Mishnah. And that's the case of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah was coming to teach you Stam. Tum'at Shekhvat Zar'o Metameh. The Shekhvat Zera of a Zav is going to be metameh b'masa. Okay, very good. Now, good. Mishnah. Nazir haya Shmuel. Now we talk about Shmuel and Navi. Was Shmuel and Navi a Nazir or not? What's the machloket of it? Was he a nazir or not? But the Mishnah says, nazir ayesh Shmuel. He was a nazir. Kedivrei Rabbi Nehorai. Shene emar, umora lo ya'ale al rosho. When Hannah, Shmuel's mother, went to Eli, and Eli gave her a blessing that she's going to have a child, one of the things Eli HaKohen said was what? Umora lo ya'ale al rosho. What is the word umora? So we understood mora, the same word that was used by Shimshon, who we know is a Nazir. And what does it say? Ne'mar b'Shimshon, Umura lo ya'aleh al-roshu. Same type of word. And mura over there means a razor, a blade. V'ne'emar b'shmuel umura. Ma mura mura b'shmuel nazir. Afura mura b'shmuel nazir. Good. So that's Ali used the same terminology, which really was saying Shmuel indeed was a nazir. Amar of Yosef, v'halo en mura ela shel basar vadam. He comes along to me and says, no, that's not the pshat in the pasuk. He wasn't a nazir. Umora, read it as if it's written with an aleph. He will not have the fear of human beings, which means Shmuel is not going to, he's going to be fearless. He's not going to have any fear of people, which means he's going to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. And he's going to lead them. He's not going to care about anybody's stature or anybody's, you know, power and all that. Umora lo ya'aleh al rosho. Fear of human beings is not going to be Shmuel's weakness. On the contrary, that's going to be his strength. Okay, so comes the Gemara and says, "Amar Rabbi Nehorai." How can you tell me that? "V'alo kevar ne'emar v'yomer Shmuel ech elech v'shama Shaul v'haragani shekevar ya'ala mora shel basar v'adam." You see, he was scared when God told Shmuel and Navi to go anoint David and Melech to become the second king of Israel. So Shaul already was the king. Shaul and Melech. So what does Shmuel tell Borei Olam? How can I go anoint, inaugurate David, v'shamach Shaul? Shaul's going to hear about it, v'haragan is going to kill me. So what do you see? He was scared. He had Mura v'asar v'adam on him. So how could you tell me that the Mura means he's not going to have it? It didn't come true. Ela, you have to say the Mura means a inyan of nezidut. Okay. Comes the Gemara, Amar le Rav lechiya bere. Rav tells Chiya bere, his son, Hatof ubarich. Vechen Amar le Ravuna le Rabba bere, Hatof ubarich. This is talking about Birkat HaMazon. In the olden days, the custom was, the one that would make the zimun would also have a kos in his hand. Now we still do that today. We make zimun with a kos. That didn't change. But used to be the one that would hold the kos, he would make the Birchat HaMazon, and everybody else would listen and just answer Amen. Jeez, he was the leader. He was like the Hazan. Only one person would say the Birchat HaMazon. So these stories is being told over that the rabbis would tell their students, right? Amal Rav Hiya Ben, or his son, right? Rav told his son, Hiya, Hatof Umari, grab the kos, which means don't give up to somebody else. Take the kos to Berakah and you make the Berakah to Mazon out loud. Don't be from the listeners. You be from the ones that make the Berakah yourself. Look at the Tosfot on the right margin. Hatof Maher Lebarech Shte Zariz V'Nizkar. You have Zirizut and you'll get reward. Right? Look at the bottom line in the Rosh. All the way to the bottom line. Hatof Kos Shel Berakah. Right? V'chen kol berachot al yekademucha acher. You always be the one to make the beracha. Don't be from the one that is ayotze. Be the one that is motzi. Okay? Hatof ubarich, grab and make the beracha. Abel Ravuna Rava Bereh, same thing. Ravuna tells the son, Rava, hatof ubarich, grab the kos and make the beracha. Kemuran says, lememra de mevarich adif. Are you telling me that the mevarich is better? That the barakas, but why? That Tanya, we learned Rabbi Yose Omer Gadol Ha'one Amen Yoter Min HaMevarech. That the one that answers Amen, he's even greater than the one that makes the barakah. So the Chavarai should have told him, be from the listeners. The Amen is the better. And what's the mashav? Amar Le Rabbi Neorai said Hashamayim Kachu, which means as if like he made a shivua. That's the language of shivua. Right, like he raises his hands to the Shamayim. Right, he says, I swear, this is the way it is. That what? That the one that answers is greater than the Mevarech. Why? Teda, Share Gulayrim Mitgarim Bimilhama. Who's these Gulayrim? The weak soldiers, they go out and start the war. You know, they're on the front line, they go out and start the instigation of the war. Like the Mefaresh says, Halashim Mitgarim Bimilhama Tehila. And then what? The Giborim Notzchim. Then the infantry comes in, the second round of the strong soldiers, and they finish it off. The first soldiers, they weaken the enemy a little. But who is the Makibet Patish? The second round, the soldiers come in, and they destroy. That's what the Mefarei says. V'alaka giborim ba'im, v'nutzrin afkan, ha'one amen ba le'achara mevarech, u'minatzeyach, lomar sha'one amen mishubach mena mevarech, which means, it's a tremendous concept over here, what you're learning, that the person that's making the beracha, he's like the weak soldier. The guy that comes and says, amen, he's finishing it off. Now, the question is, and therefore, what do you see? Who's greater? The one that finishes it off. So he's the real soldier. So therefore, you see why Gadol Ha'oneh Yot Mevarech. But the shock over here is of the mashal that they were bringing over here. Who's talking about a war? We're talking about somebody that's making berachot. Why would the Gemara give such a mashal of somebody that's going out to war? The explanation the Mefarshim say is like this. In David HaMelech's time, there was a plague where there was 100 people dying every single day. And David HaMelech needed to stop the plague. So what did he do? David was mitaken, a takara that we still have till the modern day, and that is the Inyan of Me'a Berachot. And once they started to establish the Me'a Berachot, the plague stopped. So what do you see over here? That really, the Inyan of a Beracha is a weapon. A weapon against who? Against the Satan. And if every time a person makes a beracha, yeah, there's a war going on over here. The war actually is able to push away the Satan and his legions from coming in and attacking. We don't understand it. We don't look at a beracha in that sense. We look at a beracha as it's a mitzvah, it's an obligation, you have to fulfill it. Now we're learning differently over here. When a person's making a beracha, he has to know is if he's putting on his army gear and he's going into battle, then he's going to fight the Satan. That's what he's saying. But the one that, who's the one that defeats? Who's the one that puts the stake into the enemy? That's the Amen. The Amen is even greater. And many reasons have been, so therefore that's the comparison of war. That the Berachot actually do fight the Satan, the battle, in order to protect Klal Yisrael from death. That was the 100 Berachot. That being said, different explanations have been said, why Gadol Ha'oneh Yotem and Mevarech? One Mefaresh explained like this. I think it's Rabbeinu Bahya. The Gemara says, or the Torah says, Api Shnayim Edim Yakum Davar. You need two witnesses in order to establish testimony. Lo Yakum Alpi Edehad, which means one testimony is not accepted. So that person gets up and comes along and says, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam she'hakol niya b'dvaro. Right? Everything was created in your word. He's only one witness. One witness is not accepted. The guy comes along and says, Amen. He's the second witness now. Now he made the edut kayam. So therefore, gadol ha'oneh yoter min ha'mevarech. Because now the testimony is accepted. Now already it's considered legitimate edut. Without that, it's just one word. On a deeper understanding of why the oneh is greater, is because the Mefarshim explain like this. When a person makes a beracha, so he is involved in saying one of the Shemot HaKedoshim. Baruch Atah Hashem. Okay, Hashem is Yudke Vavke, there's no question. That's a tremendous Kedusha, where he's saying the Shem Hashem of 26, right? However, which is the Shem Midata Rahamim, which is a great thing. But we always know that there's a higher level of not only saying the Shem HaRachamim, but there's a higher level of taking the Shem of Din, Adanut, and combining it with the Shem HaRachamim, Havaya, meaning Havaya Adanut, and therefore creating now a higher form of Midat HaRachamim. That what they call that is the Havaya Adanut B'Shiluv, where you're making the two Shemot, Adanut is Din. Right? The same letters, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, is Otiot, Dina. Dina is Dina, Dina is judgment. But when you put them together, that's the high level. The numerical value of Havaya Adanut is how much? 91. Adanut is 65, Havaya is 26. So it says, Gadol Ha'oneh. Why? Because when a person answers Amen, what's the numerical value of Amen? 91. And therefore, he's already connected to the Havaya Adanut, where the person that's making the Beracha, he's just saying, so you see, in Deen, it's right, the Amen is greater. So the Gemara is asking, what are you talking? You're telling him to go, Hatoful Baruch, Abdul Baruch. On the contrary, it would be better to be from the listeners, right? So comes the Gemara and says, Tanaehi. It's actually Mahlukat Tanaim. Netanya. Echad mevarech ve'echad ha'oneh amen b'mashma. Which means they both get credit. The one that makes the beracha and the one that answers amen. Ela shememaharim nemevarech tehillah. But what? They give the reward faster to the one that makes the beracha. Oh, so therefore you see what? Even though the pasuk says, there's a pasuk in Tehillim, the pasuk says, Gedelu ladolai iti unromema shemo yahdav. Gedelu ladolai shem iti, which means give praise to God. Who's giving the praise? Shneim b'mashma. The one that says the beracha is included in the Gedelu ladolai shem iti, and the one that's saying amen. Unromema shemo yahdav. Both are included in the pasuk. But the Hiddush is, according to this Braita, the one that says the beracha, he gets rewarded faster. Okay, so machloket. So these rabbis obviously have the mevarech is better than the oneh. Therefore, they were telling their children, hatof barich. Comes the Gemara and concludes, Amar bir azar, Amar v'hanina, kamidei hachamim, marbim shalom ba'onam, shne'emar, v'chol banayich lemudei Hashem, v'rav shalom banayich. Rav Hanina comes along and says the conclusion of the Masechet. Tamidei Chachamim, the scholars, Marbim Shalom Ba'olam, they promote peace in the world. Shne'emar, V'chol Banayich Limudei Hashem, and all the children of Limudei Hashem are the learning, right? The ones that are learning. V'rav Shalom Banayich, and they promote peace. There's an abundance of peace will be in your children. To understand this final piece of Gemara, it's interesting that this Gemara finds itself at the end of four Masechtot. Masechet Berachot, Masechet Nazir, if I'm not mistaken, Masechet Yevamot, and Masechet Keritut. Rashi Tevot, Banayich. V'Rav Shalom, Banayich. Berachot, Nazir, Yevamot, Keritut. Now, what does it mean? Tamidei Chachamim bring shalom ba'olam. What does it mean that the Tamidei Chachamim, they bring peace into the world? So he once explained it, that it means like this. What's the reason why people fight in the world? What's the reason that people get into mahlok and things like that? Because a lot of times it is because they have nothing else that they're involved in, because of boredom, and because they're involved in nothing important, they have a lot of time on their hands, so therefore they can afford to get involved in a fight with this guy, and this guy didn't look at him in the right way, this guy didn't invite him to his wedding, and this guy didn't give him the right kavod. When you're not busy, so therefore you can get involved in the trivials of life. But a person that's involved in a busy or an overriding passion, all the small things don't bother. Mashal l'madavar domeh, a person's in his retail store and he's collecting money. And there's a line out the door, and they're giving him $100 bills. He's filling the register up, and he's making money like you can't imagine. And in the middle of all that, his wife calls him up and says, "You know, so and so didn't invite us to the wedding." And the guy says, "Who cares? Who cares about the wedding? Leave him alone. I'm mohelim shtuyot. Why? Because he's making money. He doesn't care about anything else. The overriding passion of the panasa." So a guy, let's say, one of the customers walked by him and there was a little, he don't care, he looked at him the wrong way. Let him go, big deal. Tamidei Chachamim, the Havdil, of course, when you're involved in the higher passion of studying Torah, so you're on a higher level, you're on a higher madriga, which means you're learning the Torah of Hashem. What can be important besides the Torah? Which means imagine you have such a bright light. So you can't see anything else. The bright light is so strong that you don't see anything else. Nothing else means anything. So it doesn't mean that Tamidei Chachamim are walking around with peace flags and you know pacifists and things like that. No, the marbim shalom ba'olam, just because the things that bother everybody else don't bother. You know what's the explanation? If you want to say it clearly, is Tamidei Chachamim, for that matter, anybody that's learning Torah has perspective. When you don't study Torah, you have no perspective. Everything else, all the shtuyot in the world become big and important things because that's all you have in your life. When you don't have anything else, that becomes your life. But when you have a higher calling, so therefore, who cares about all the other things? All the other politics everybody else gets involved in, that's because that's the Torah. That's it. That's, without that, they have no reason to exist.
But when you have Torah and your mind is thinking about Torah and you know what your purpose in this world is, not only rabbis, any student, any scholar that sits and studies Torah, as we know it, your perspective is all different. A lot of times, leave it, big deal. Why big deal? Because I'm involved in a bigger deal. And therefore, these things don't make too much of an importance. Last but not least, just to say a derasha on this pasuk over here where it says, V'chol banayich limudei Hashem. The great rabbis come along and say a very important yesod, which is a little novel idea, but it's true. The Torah calls the Jewish people Bnei Yisrael. Simply Bnei Yisrael because we're the sons of Yaakov Avinu, Yisrael is Yaakov, 12 tribes, each one of us come from one of the tribes, hence Bnei Yisrael. Because all of us basically are from the sons of Yaakov Avinu, from one of the 12. But the Mefarshim says, Baal Shem Tov says as well, Yisrael is Rashi Tevot. Yesh Shishim Ribo Otiyot La Torah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah. Now, if you count it up, it's really not 600,000 letters. It's more like about 320,000 or something letters in the Torah. But the point is, when it says Yisrael, every Jew is connected to one of the letters of the Torah. Which means every person is considered an ot. Yeah, this is the truth. Which means the Torah, obviously, is the spiritual entity. And Torah brings life to the world. Torah is Kim Hayenu Ve'orich Yamenu. So a person's neshama, where does it have its sustenance? What fuels the neshama? The fuel comes from the Torah Kedusha. That's why there's a minhag. Every time a Sefer Torah comes out, you look for the letter that begins with your name. Right? Let's say your name is Yosef. So you look for a word that starts with the letter Yud. Or Eliyahu. You look for a letter that starts with a Aleph. Why? Because that's where your sustenance comes from. Your spiritual nourishment actually comes from the Torah itself. Yes, Shishim, Ribo, Otiyot, Torah. Yes, Yisrael. Which is an amazing thing now, the way when you look at another Jew, you're not looking at a physical human being. Every single person is mamash in Ot in the Torah itself. Now, that being said, the Mefarshim bring down that not only in the human being himself, but in the world itself, in different pieces of land, also the otiyot of the Torah are manifest. Which means, just like we're saying, each neshama has a letter, there's different otiyot of the Torah, since the word was created with the otiyot of the Torah. So it's almost as if the world itself, there's different otiyot of the Torah scattered in the world. I'll give you a true example to understand this. There was a fellow in the Navi, Sadiq, called Otniel ben Kenaz. What was the greatness of Otniel ben Kenaz? His greatness was that there was about 1,700 halachot that were forgotten at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu's death, and he was able to bring them back. In his chokmah, he recovered them. And the pasuk that tells us he recovered it says, Vayilkod et Kiryat Sefer. He conquered Kiryat Sefer. Now Kiryat Sefer is a place. I mean, he was a warrior. He went and he conquered the piece of Israel called Kiryat Sefer. But the Gemara's Doresh, not only is it a physical place, but Kiryat Sefer, the Sefer. He recovered the book. The book, the Sefer that was forgotten in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. But Mefarshim explained, there was a direct connection between Kiryat Sefer and those halachot they forgot, because where were those halachot in the world? In which place in the world were those halachot resting? In Kiryat Sefer. So therefore, when he conquered Kiryat Sefer with the proper kavanot and all that, which means it's an amazing thing, which is in every halak of earth, there's Torah, there's learning, that's why a person sometimes, in a certain place, he can't understand. Then Mishnah Emek, he goes to a different place, oh, he understands it. What happened? Because in that place where he is now, there's that earth itself has the Kabanot. So then when it says Kiryat Sefer, it was a direct connection between his conquering of the land and the recovering of that Torah that was in the land itself. That's why it says, En Torah Ketorat Eretz Yisrael, because all of Torah Mamash is concentrated in Eretz Yisrael. So the learning there... Avirat the Eretz Yisrael Machkim as well. Similarly, we're going to read soon in Megillat Rut, we're going to read the story of Boaz. Boaz, one of the great things that he did was he brought back a halakha that was forgotten. What was the halakha that was forgotten? Mo'avi velo Mo'aviya. When the Torah says you cannot marry into the Mo'avi people, it only is referring to Mo'avi, but not the woman. So Mefarshim say, what else did Boaz do? He also recovered a piece of land. He was the Goel, he recovered a piece of land of Elimelech and brought it back to the family plot. So Mefarshim say, there was a direct connection, which means in the Geula of the field, that's where the halakha of Mo'abi velo Mo'aviya was. So therefore there was a direct connection, just like Otniel ben Kenaz. And that's what the Pasuk is saying over here. V'chol banayich, all the Bnei Torah, all the people that stayed there, all the Jewish people, limudei Hashem, they themselves are a limud. Every Jew is a limud in himself, which means this person is a letter Aleph, and this person is a letter Vav, and this person is a letter Yod, which means v'chol banayich, all the children of God, limudei Hashem, they too are a study. They're a study themselves, they're a study in the Otiyot of the Torah, especially those that study Torah on a regular basis, all the more so that they're connected to those otiyot of the Torah. But Arizal said, more so those that study in a habura, those that study in a group. Groups like this, why? Because one letter has limited interpretation. But when you have a group, now already you have not otiyot Torah. Now you have tevot. Now you have words. And therefore the Arizal was very strict to the group, that you must study b'habura in a group. That's what the Gemara says. Herev el abadim venu alu. Herev al sonayim shel tamidi, tamidi hakayimim shelomdim bad bebad. Woe to those tamidim that study alone. Because a letter has a limited meaning. But when you study in a habura, so all the letters come together, now already you have a tevot, now already you have a deeper understanding. That's why the Gemara says, oh havruta, oh metuta. Without a havruta, it's very difficult to understand because you can't study alone. You need to connect. And then he spoke, and we'll conclude with this, about the importance of shalom amongst all of Klal Yisrael, but specifically shalom amongst the Talmidim. And he said, if there's any place in the life that you have to have a camaraderie and a unity amongst people, it's specifically in the group of the learning, of those that are learning Torah, where everybody has to feel each other's pain, and everybody has to feel each other's problems. And it cannot be that you're in a shi'ur and everybody's worried about themselves. You know, they learned it and they go home and all that, and they tune out to everybody else's issue. Adrabah, in a shi'ur specifically, the hatzlahav de limud specifically comes that not when everybody's being a nosy body. Of course, you have to respect everybody's personal, privacy as well. But if you know that there's people in Shi'ud that have issues, this one has a panasa issue, this one has needs an apartment, this one needs a shalom, this one needs a perfuah. The group must be involved. That is, I've told you, but Pete on this so much so. And I'll conclude with a story that's told to show you how strict this was. Rav Chaim Vital was a student of the Arizal. The Arizal told him, ask me whatever you want in learning, I'm going to tell it to you. I'm not going to hold back anything. So, they would ask him all his questions and so on and so forth. Got to a certain piece. Rav Chaim couldn't understand it. So he went to his rabbi. He said, Rabbi, you got to explain me this explanation. He says, I can't. But you told me whatever I'm going to ask you. He says, this is, I can't. You trust me, I can't. Finally, he pushed him. He says, okay, listen, I did make a shivua, so I guess I have to explain it to you. I'll explain it to you. He gives him the explanation. Right after he tells it to him, he says, now that I gave you this great secret, because of it, they were gozer on me, mita in the shamayim. Ah, oh, I was shocked. They didn't realize that was the reason why I didn't want to give it, but he gave it. But he told the Talmidim, so long as there's shalom amongst the students, the gezerah will be pushed off. And he made them make a pact amongst themselves and their wives that they'll live in peace. And as long as the students of the Ari lived in peace and there was shalom, nothing happened to them. But then what happened? The Satan entered the camp and a fight broke out amongst the wives. And from that, it trickled down to the Talmidim. It was Erev Shabbat. It was in the month of Av. The Arizal went to accept Shabbat. Bu'ikala, bu'ikala. He comes back and he's pale. They look at him, he looks like an onen, it looks like something happened. So the Arizal said, Kevan Nigzera Gezerah. He said, already I saw the Gezerah was Nigzar. They showed me the Pasuk in the Shamayim. Ve'atem u'malkechem tisafu. You and your king are going to perish. And why, he said? Because of the Mahloket. He said, because the students already have a little ishalom amongst them, now already the Gezerah. And sure enough, the Arizal died shortly after that, only at the young age of 38 years old. But you see what? If there was peace amongst the students, he could have lived on forever. But because there was a little divisiveness amongst the Talmidim, the Gezerah shows you how great the Inyan of the Shalom is. So that's what it means. Talmidei Hachamim Mabim Shalom Ba'olam. They bring life in the world. When there's peace in the world, there's life in the world. However, Chas v'Shalom, when the Talmidei Hachamim are fighting amongst themselves, Mi lanu gadol mitalmidei Rabbi Akiva, 24,000 Talmidim, but because there was no Shalom, we shouldn't say no Shalom, but there was a compromise of Shalom amongst them, 24,000 students perished. And therefore, when there's Shalom, there's Beracha Yirason. Shekhadosh Baruch Hu should give us the Beracha of Talmidei Hachamim Mabim Shalom Ba'olam, Shneimar, V'chol Banayich Nebudei Adonai, V'Rab Shalom Banayich Adran, Alach Hakutim, En Lahem Nezirut, וסליק עלה מסכת נזיר, אדרן עלך מסכת נזיר, ואדרך עלן, דתן עלך מסכת נזיר, ודתך עלן, לד לשם מנך מסכת נזיר, ולד לשם מנן, לבא מהדם ולבא מהדעתי, אדרן עלך מסכת נזיר, ודתך עלן, דתן עלך מסכת נזיר, ודתך עלן, לד לשם מנך מסכת נזיר, ולד לשם מנן, לבא מהדם ולבא מהדעתי, אדרן עלך מסכת נזיר, ודתך עלן, דתן עלך מסכת נזיר, ודתך עלן, לד לשם מנך מסכת נזיר, ולד לשם מנן, לבא מהדם ולבא מהדעתי, לעשות בברכת דברי אלוהינו ולאבותינו, שיהיה תותך ומונתנו בעולם הזה, תאמנו לעולם הבא, חנן בר פפא, רמי בר פפא, נחמן בר פפא, חי בר פפא, במרבי בר פפא, יפן בר פפא, רכיז בר פפא, שולחן בר פפא, עדה בר פפא, דרו בר פפא, ערב אלוהינו ואלוהינו 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 לעולם לא אשכח פקודיך כי בהם חייתן, ברוך אתה אדוני למדינה חוקיך, אמן, אמן, אמן. סלע ועין, מודים עלינו לדבר כדור אלוהינו רבותינו, ששם תחכים משווה במדרש, ולא שם תחכים משווה קרנות, שאנו משכימים מהם משכימים, אנו משכימים לזה תורה ומשכימים לדברים בטלים, אנו עמלים ומעמלים, אנו עמלים כבשכר, עמלים ונותנים שכר, מנסים ומנסים, אנו מנסים לחיי העולם הבא, והם מנסים לשחד, שנאמר, ואתה ילדים תועדים ושחד, השדים דמים אולי ידעו עשוי ימיהם, ואני אהיה פתח בגיל אסום. פרק אלוהי אלוהינו ולבותינו כשם, שעזרתה לסיים מסכת נזיר. כעת עזרתם תתחיל מסכתות ותפעלים מעלים לסיימם, ללמוד למד לשמוד לעשות, קיים קודם כל כבה הבא. זכות, תנאים, מונעים, תמידי החמים, יעבוד לנו, זרענו, שלא תמו, שתורם פינו פי זרענו, וזה לזרענו עד עולם. כן, באנו מכלל שכתוב, בתלכך תנחה אותך, בשוכבך תשמור עליך, וכיסות היא תשיחך, כי בי ירבו ימיך, ויסיף לך שעות חיים. אורך ימים במינה, ושמור ראש וחרו, אלוהי זה עמו ייתן, אלוהי ברכת עמו בשלום.